Turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 18. Title of our lesson today is Jesus Again Foretells His Death. A couple of weeks ago, I told you that the book of Luke is my favorite gospel narrative. And chapter 18 is one of my favorite chapters of the book. It starts with the parable of the unjust judge and the widow who was being harassed by her adversary. And it talks about her going to the judge repeatedly, asking for help. And the judge says, even though I'm ungodly, I will help. But the parallel thought is that our Lord, who is holy and just, if we come to him over and over and over again, he will listen to what we have to say. Then we have the story of the Pharisee and the publican going up into the temple to pray, and how that the Pharisee brags about all he has done, his tithes and his fasts, and he says, and he points over here and he says, I'm glad I'm not like this guy over here. I'm glad there's no guy right there, because you'd think I was pointing to him. Maybe I should point back here. I'm glad I'm not like this guy. And we find that the publican beats upon his chest, begging for the mercy of Almighty God. And Jesus tells his audience that the publican left the temple justified and not the other. This story is followed by the episode where parents are bringing their children to Jesus to be blessed by him. We're probably going to be having a baby dedication service the first or second Sunday of December. And we think of parents that are willing to give their children to the Lord, even as Hannah gave Samuel. And we find that the disciples rebuke the parents for such forwardness. But then Jesus rebukes the disciples, saying, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Next, we have the rich ruler coming to Jesus with the question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And may I say, there is no more important question than that. It's more important than what you're going to have for lunch this afternoon. It's more important than asking your tax person, how can I get more money back? It's more important than any question you could ask. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, knowing the heart of the man, begins by naming five of the Ten Commandments, to which the rich man confidently tells Jesus, "All these I have kept from my youth up." According to Matthew's narrative of this episode, he says that Jesus loved the man. But he tells them, "One thing thou lackest. Go and sell your possessions, give the money to the poor, and follow me." And the man went away very sorrowful, for he was very rich. The disciples were amazed then when Jesus said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? But salvation is of the Lord, and it has nothing to do with the blessings that we may or may not have in our daily walk in life." Then in verses 29 and 30, Jesus says to the disciples that those that have given things up for the Lord's sake shall receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Last week we saw the blind man healed near Jericho, that he had positioned himself there on the road so that he could be in plain sight and do his begging. And he hears a great commotion coming down the road, and he asks, "Well, what's the commotion?" And they said that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And we heard how he shouted out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus and God are the same, said, "I'll do it." And he healed him. And the beggar received his sight and immediately followed after the Lord, glorifying God. But we skipped a portion of verses that we're going to look at today. Luke 18, verses 31 through 34. Let's stand together if you would, please. Luke 18, 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. Dear Heavenly Father, we are glad that you sent Jesus, though we are saddened for the reason and what happened to him. But we thank the Lord for the sacrifice that has been offered. And we are thankful that he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And as we have this celebration this Thursday, thanking thee for your blessings, may we always remember to whom we should be thankful. We ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12, he being Jesus, the 12 being his disciples. Have you ever thought about the privilege it was to be one of his disciples? To have walked there and to seen all that he did and accomplished? John said if everything had been written down, he didn't know if the world could contain the books. And he took the 12 and once again told them they were going, notice, up to Jerusalem. You always go up to Jerusalem. And they were going there to fulfill the prophecies of old concerning the Son of Man, concerning Jesus. Never think that his death on the cross was plan B. It was not plan B. It was the plan from the foundations of the world. Genesis 3:15 says, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head. Satan, your heads will be bruised, but you shall bruise his heel. The first prophecy of a coming Savior. If you would, keeping your place here and Luke, turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. The book of Isaiah chapter 53. Let's begin reading at verse 3. He, the Messiah, Jesus, is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Who was wounded for our transgressions? Jesus, he went up to Jerusalem to fulfill Isaiah chapter 53. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as of a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin,
He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Prophecies that must be fulfilled. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem to fulfill these prophecies. Back to Luke chapter 18 and verses 32 and verses 33. Luke 18, 32. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and shall put him to death. We find that he shall be delivered to the Gentiles. The Romans, as you know, were in control, and they were to take him, and the Gentiles would crucify him. Interesting that the Romans' number one way of putting someone to death was to crucify them. And yet we know that Jesus would be raised up, even as the serpent was raised up in the wilderness. He shall be mocked. Folks, people mock his holy name today. It's amazing how many people spend their whole life trying to tell you there is no God. Folks, if there is no God, why do they care? Why are they bothered? Because within them they know there is a God. And they are trying to convince themselves that they're okay, when in reality they realize they're needing a Savior. See, there is a void in all of our lives that only the Lord can fill. Money cannot fill that void. Power cannot fill that void. Material things cannot fill that void. Only Jesus Christ can fill the void. He shall be spitefully entreated. In other words, dealt with cruelly or hatefully. He shall be spit upon. I can't think of too many worse things than to be spit upon. He shall be scourged. He'll be punished. He'll be whipped. And may I say this, the Romans knew how to hurt somebody. It wasn't like the football player from Minnesota with a rod leaving some marks on his son's body. We're talking about using a whip where the skin is opened and the blood flows. And he was put to death for you and for me, folks. For you know what you are? You're dirty, stinking sinners. No, I'm not. Every one of us is a dirty, stinking sinner. Have you ever lied? Yes? It means you're all liars. Would you agree? Ever coveted? Every one of us. What are we? Dirty, stinking sinners. Aren't you glad the Lord loved us? He hates sin, but he loves sinners. He died for us. Is it any wonder that it's said that if we don't accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we will suffer the wrath of God? God himself comes to die for us, and if we reject him, we shall suffer for all eternity. I hope you've made your peace with God. But I love that last phrase, and he shall rise again the third day. Aren't you glad for that? And then in verse 34, it says, and they understood none of these things. They did not understand. But don't be too harsh on them. They didn't have the Word of God. They had the Old Testament scriptures, but that's all. We have the Word of God. We know the rest of the story. So don't be too hard on them. But what is our excuse? What is our excuse? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Hebrews 12:2, "Looking now unto the author, unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Looking unto Jesus. The Mansfield Men's Conference theme was "A Man to Follow." Jesus Christ is the man to follow. And as I told you, as we gathered there in Mansfield, Ohio, at the Mansfield Baptist Temple, we got there at 6 o'clock. The program began at 7. I guess we got there about 6:15, my mistake. We got there about 6:15. The program began at 7. The auditorium was already half full. Whoa, that means half the people that were coming were more than 45 minutes early. Can you imagine the heart attack you'd give your pastor if we were all here a half hour early? Glory. By 7 o'clock, the auditorium was full. 700 men singing the praises of God. What a joy. What a blessing. And Pastor Ouellette got up to speak, and he had us put the dots on the program. This is the program. That's the program. And I right here are my dots. They're my dots. The good Christian, the Christian that was the worst. And in between, there's a line. And in between, I asked you to put a dot. Where are you today? Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 3. You know why I'm asking you to turn to Revelation chapter 3? Because Brother Ouellette asked us to turn to Revelation chapter 3, okay? And if you don't like what I'm going to say, blame Brother Ouellette. Okay? But I thought what he had to say was so good, I thought you needed to hear it. Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, but you probably already knew that. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, the message to the church at Laodicea. Some call it the last part of the church age. Verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works." That should scare the pajabbers out of us. Now, I have no idea what pajabbers are, but I've been told through the years that it should. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." He's talking about one of the churches that is supposedly his church. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Can you imagine Jesus having to knock at the door of a church because he has not been welcomed in? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," is there anyone out there that wants to let him in? If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches," the seven of them. "I know thy works." See, you can put up a wall and make it look good with wallpaper and paint and pictures, and you can make us think that you are something when Jesus knows who we really are. That thou art neither cold nor hot. Where did I have the bad Christian? Was it over here? Behind me. Over here is the bad Christian. Goes to church whenever he feels like it. Gives if he ever feels like it. Probably doesn't ever give. Probably hates the fact that we have an offering. Probably doesn't like the fact that we have an invitation. Probably doesn't like to sing the songs. Doesn't like the fact that we use the Bible. Would rather hear stories. I mean, probably isn't interested in anything that the church has to say about missions. He's unconcerned. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a Christian. Over here's the good Christian. Not only does he come to church, he's excited about it. He wants to read his Bible. In fact, he reads it every day. He carries tracts in his pocket so that he can give them out when the occasion is available. He not only gives his tithe and his offering, he gives the missions, and if there's a special offering, he doesn't begrudge the fact that the pastors once again asked for a little extra money, because after all, he wants to give, because God loves what? A cheerful giver. He prays. He sings. He's a good Christian. He's looking forward to being with Christ for all eternity. And then between this guy over here and this guy over here, there's a wide gap. And I asked you, where are you? And my first reaction was to put myself right in the middle. Because I don't want to be over here. I mean, right? I mean, you don't want me over here, do you? No. You don't want me buddies and rubbing shoulders with this guy over here. And yet in my mind, I know I'm not over here. You say, Pastor Paul, you ought to be this guy. I wish I was. I really do wish I was this guy over here. Sometimes, and I'll be honest with you, there are Sunday mornings I get up when the clock goes off and I think, oh, do I really have to go? And I think to myself, they're not going to listen to me. They're just going to laugh at me. Now, do you think I've ever said that? I have. Yes. And there are times I think, do I really want to go and sing? Come on, I've got a headache. You ever have a headache? I get these sinus headaches. Maybe you have one. I feel like someone's ripping the back of my head off. Do you ever have one like that? And I tell you what, have you ever tried to preach when someone's trying to rip the back of your head off? Man, I tell you what, and I can't see straight, and the words are swimming on the page, and I say, Lord, don't you love me? Come on. And I thought to myself, well, you know, I'm just going to put myself right in the middle. I'm not too bad, and I'm trying to do good. What would that make me if I'm right in the middle? Makes me lukewarm. So then, because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. In other words, Jesus is saying, you make me sick. Isn't that what he's saying? He's saying, you make me sick. A number of years ago, we had a woman bring some Brussels sprouts to one of the Fifth Sunday potlucks. And she promised me, you are going to like these. You're going to like the way I prepared them. And I thought, oh, yeah? So you know what I did, Don? I put 3 on my plate. Stupid, 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 stupid. And I put one in my mouth. And I chewed on it, and I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what to do because she was looking at me. You know what I did? I swallowed it. For her sake, I swallowed it. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to spew it out of my mouth. That's what I wanted to do. It made me sick. Now, some of you, and somebody has to eat them, like Brussels sprouts. I believe, Mrs. Jones, you said that you liked them. Louise, come on, folks. Which one's the oddball here? I told you you'd laugh at me. Oh, you're laughing with me. Thank you. I will spew thee out of my mouth. The Lord said he'd rather us be like this slob over here or like this saint over here. Now, folks, don't go out of church saying, well, Pastor Paul wants me to be like this guy over here where I go to church only once in a while and don't give, don't pray, don't care. No, I don't want that. But I think what the Lord is trying to tell us is that we shouldn't just be satisfied with halfway done. I think what he's trying to tell us is that don't think that you're special because you have been blessed with so much. And we have been blessed with so much. Folks, you would not believe how much we've been blessed until you go to third world countries. And may I say this, you that have a pastor that preaches the Word of God, and for all the years that this church has been in existence, you've been blessed by having a pastor who has preached the Word of God. Do you realize what a blessing that is? Because there are churches in this area that teach works, which is contrary to the Word of God, that teach that it's all right to have a homosexual pastor. There are those who preach doctrines that are inspired by demons. What a blessing it is we have the Word of God. What a blessing. Notice it says in verse 17, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They didn't even need the Lord. He's outside the door. They didn't need him. They could have a good service without him. Folks, we need the Word of God. We need it. And they didn't need anything. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18 says, I counsel thee. Are we willing to listen to the counsel of the Lord? How important it is that we listen to the teaching of the Word of God. Verse 19 says, we are to repent. I don't care how good you think you are. Have you asked the Lord recently, Lord, is there something I need to change? I think some people don't come to the altar at prayer time because you're afraid they're going to wonder what you did wrong. Well, maybe they're praying for you. In verse 20, open the door. Let him in. Let him in. Where's your dot? Shall we stand together? 383, Jesus paid it all. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. And Lord, may we be willing to move our dot in the right direction. Give us strength and encouragement, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.